Welcome. Today I have the great honor of interviewing the president of the Canadian International Learning Foundation, Mr. Ryan Aldred. He will be joining us today and he'll talk about the Afghan School Project. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy day to talk about this important cause. Ryan, I'd like to start off by discussing the impact of the Afghan School Project. I know that this is something that's very dear to your heart, and you've been actively involved as the president of the Canadian International Learning Foundation. So would you be able to discuss how members of the community can become actively involved in making a difference while also providing the listeners with a bit of a background about the Afghan School Project, what the school does, and what opportunities the school provides the students with?
The Afghan School Project first started back in 2006, and my wife Andrea and I, we read about a educator in Kandahar named Ehsan Allah Ehsan. And this was right around the time that Canadian forces first moved into Kandahar. And there was a lot of international attention on what was going on in southern Afghanistan. And we were just a bit surprised to find that there was a school that was having trouble paying its teachers, was having trouble keeping its computer equipment up to date. We reached out to Ehsan, and initially we thought, oh, well, maybe we'll help pay a teacher's salary, or we'll help buy a few computers for the for his work. And soon after we started talking with him, we realized that that we could do a lot more than that. So we actually helped him start up a new school, and that was the Afghan Canadian Community Center, which later grew to include the Kandahar Institute of Modern Studies. And throughout, we've been a volunteer initiative that's really just focused on asking what can we do to help. So we've helped to raise funds, we've helped to write grants, we've helped to create partnerships between the schools in Kandahar and Canadian and international learning institutions that that can help provide online education programs for students in Afghanistan. And it's really created a very significant impact on the ground. We've had more than 4,000 students who've graduated, at least 2,600 students that have gotten employment or promotions as a result of the training that we offer. The kinds of programs that are available, basically it's focused on professional education. So subjects like information technology, communications, business, leadership, English, the kinds of skills that really makes students quite employable by international organizations, by Afghan government departments, by local businesses. And we estimate a lot of students, Mariam, who's running our current fundraising campaign as an example, when they would get these jobs, they'd go on and provide economic support to five or six or even more family members. So we estimate that we provided a source of income for 12,500 Afghan residents. And in terms of how people can help, really it doesn't take a lot to make a very significant contribution. We're asking that Canadian citizens consider using our online tool to write to their Member of Parliament, or they can call into their Member of Parliament's office to express support for a new grant that we have out, the Women's Skills for Rights and Empowerment. Or they can, you know, take a little bit of time to learn about what we're doing on our website, perhaps share it with their friends. If they're able to make a financial contribution, Mariam's running her Dare to Learn fundraising campaign. It costs just around 35 Canadian a month for a student to go to school. And that's a really significant impact, particularly right now when we are having a funding shortfall and we're still waiting to hear about this very, very important grant. This funding right now is really crucial to keeping the schools open until such time as we can hear back from the Government of Canada.
On the official Afghan School Project site, it mentions that more than 10 years after the fall of the Taliban, the state of education in Afghanistan remains poor and dire. The national literacy rate stands at 28%, while for women, the figure is a mere 13%. The discrepancy points to the ongoing struggle in Afghanistan to foster a culture that respects the rule of law and accords women with respect and equality, reversing the oppressive trend of denying education and opportunity, particularly to women, is imperative for the future of this nation and its people. How would you say that the Afghan school project contributes to the growth and development of Afghanistan? In addition, how does it change the lives of the women who are able to successfully obtain an education at the Afghan school project? As a result of completing various programs, how would you say that impacts their ability to make contributions to their community, the communities that they're actively living in and involved in being a part of?
Well, I'd say that the programs help on several levels. The first is to provide students with those critical skills that they need to get employment in Kandahar. So first and foremost, they are able to meet their basic needs for food, for shelter. But as well, when women are out in the workforce and they're making a difference, it really provides tangible benefits of the education of women. And so it starts a very gradual process of change where families can see. They can see that if the family next to them allows their daughters to be educated, allows their daughters to work, that they are able to make their needs in a little bit of a better fashion. They're able to perhaps afford certain luxuries that they weren't able to afford in the past. I think that part is really, really crucial. I think as well, our program is very important in that it is very culturally respectful. We really pride ourselves in Canada as being facilitators. Yes, we do have a certain measure of control on the programs because we have to make sure that they're put into place effectively. But in terms of the day-to-day decisions on the ground, it's an Afghan program that's run by Afghans for Afghans, and I think that's really important. So they're able to really listen to the concerns of the community, to address any potential concerns they might have, and that's something that also promotes the safety of the program too, that they know that the community feels a sense of ownership. They feel that this is their program, and so they really want to look out for it. They really want to ensure that it continues because they see that tangible benefit. So I think all of those elements, the practical need to fulfill the basic requirements of women, just the necessities of life, also showing the impact of that education to other families, and then also having that done in a really respectful and secure way, all of those elements are really important and are real hallmarks of the program that we've put into place.
In one of the previous interviews that's posted under Global Horizons program on the NATO Association of Canada's site, I had an opportunity to interview Ms. Maryam Sahar, and she spoke very highly about the Afghan school project. She mentioned that it has contributed to a lot of her success. And as you know, Ms. Maryam Sahar was the first and only female interpreter to serve for the Canadian and American military. The Civilian Military Cooperation Unit contacted her, and then she was provided with a contract where she worked primarily with women in the Department of Women Initiatives and Affairs. Would you be able to provide a few examples of how the Afghan School Project has not only helped women obtain an education, but it has led them to immense amount of success as a result of obtaining positions in the government to serve as diplomats, as public servants? And I know Maryam mentioned that the Afghan School Project not only educates women, but it opens doors to many opportunities, doors that these women wouldn't have without an education. So do you have any additional success stories, such as the one that Maryam shared with me about her experience being a part of the Afghan School Project? So examples of females who have perhaps had an opportunity to serve in the government or to become a diplomat as a result of obtaining an education through the program that you provide.
Well, we've seen several instances of where students have had such incredible success as a result of this program. One story that comes to mind, students, Sakina and Sophia, they were able to land jobs with UNICEF as a result of the education that they were provided. Other students going on to work as teachers at local high schools, as another example. We had another young woman who worked as an election monitor. I think one of the most remarkable elements of this program is that there's been so many individual success stories that it's actually really difficult to keep track of them all. Students that are getting full scholarships to study with the American University of Afghanistan, students that are now undertaking their master's programs, students that are getting full scholarships to study in India, students that are working with local businesses or with large international businesses that are based in Afghanistan, such as Roshan Telecommunications. It really is remarkable to just see the incredible breadth of experience and roles that these students are fulfilling long after they've graduated.
How would you say that current academic institutions can contribute to the programs offered at the Afghan School Project? Specifically, how can universities and colleges in Canada make a difference by making certain contributions to the Afghan School Project? Obviously, there's accessibility to make contributions through donations. For those teachers who are currently, let's say, teaching English or teaching communication or business or management or technology, for those who are perhaps interested in volunteering or going abroad or becoming involved with the Afghan School Project, what is the best way for them to perhaps contact you or to become a part of this program?
International education, in particular Canadian, American, and European education programs are incredibly well respected abroad, and it really can make an absolutely amazing difference for students. We've had a partnership with the Southern Alberta Institute of Technology, which is a polytechnic that's based in Calgary, Alberta, and many of our students who have studied online, and that's how they've conducted their courses, with SAIT, were hired even before they finished that first course because it was just such a vote of confidence in those students to say, you have the potential to study in this kind of an international program. So first and foremost, I would say that we would absolutely welcome any kind of an opportunity for our students to take part in an accredited program that's offered online, if that's available. And I'd say that's where the greatest need is. But as well, there is some amazing technology these days to support online learning. So there might be other opportunities available, such as potentially for teachers to actually use Skype to provide a teleconference or a lesson over video to some of these students. Regardless, I would encourage them to contact us via our contact information on our website, or they could email me at staff@canilf.org if interested. But really, it does make an absolutely tremendous difference on the ground to have that kind of access to international education.